welcome back to another episode of the Into 99 podcast, where we've got 99 cards, because Commander is number one. I am your Necromancer with all the answer, NecroZag, joined by my lovely friends, Lotus and Dan. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm struggling with a sore throat, but otherwise good.
I'm doing great. How was your week, Zach?
It's all right. I'm a bit stuffy, so I'm mouth breathing super hard over here today. So if you guys see it, just know that, yes, I have smooth brain, not line brain, so.
It is that time of the year. Everyone's starting to get sick. Stay home if you're sick, jeez.
Wear a mask, yeah. Anything.
Yeah, you guys get it.
I haven't left the house.
Zach, let everyone know what we're talking about today. It's a really, really exciting deck. This is one of Zach's personal favorites, so I'll let Zach intro it up.
All right, so you guys know I'm the self-proclaimed Prince of the Abzan. I am the reanimator commander in our group. Today we're talking about my baby, my absolute favorite deck I've ever built, ever owned, ever played. This is my personal deck. It's Caridor with the companion Yomori. So you guys might have, like, if you're new, you might not have heard it, but if you guys are longtime listeners, you know that, like, Ikoria was my favorite set Magic has done. I've been playing Magic for quite a long time, and just everything they did in Ikoria just spoke to me on a bunch of different levels, and the companions were something I was super about. After the change that the rules committee came up with, I wasn't as into companion, but for this deck, it works super well. So today, we're looking at an all-creatures list for Caridor. In case you don't know, Caridor, Ghost Chieftain, is the commander of the deck. It's 5, a black, a green, and a white, so Abzan. For a legendary creature, Centaur Spirit, it's a 3/4. Caridor Ghost Chieftain costs 1 less to cast for each creature card in your graveyard. During each of your turns, you may cast 1 creature card from your graveyard. So that's our commander. We're doing everything with reanimation. And our companion for the deck is Yomori the Collector. It's 2 green, black, so hybrid. For a legendary creature, Ooze, 4/5. So the companion text for this is each non-land card in your starting deck shares a card type. So we're looking at creature here. All these are creatures. There's no instants, no sorceries, just creature and lands. And as it enters the battlefield, you choose that card type, and spells you cast the chosen type cost 1 less to cast. So we're going to get a discount on all of our creature spells. This deck is super fun. I love it. Every time a new set comes out, I'm looking at what card can come in, what card can come out. There are some cards that I don't currently have. So at the end of the deck tech, I'll explain what those cards are, what cards I'm thinking about taking out for them, and, you know, just kind of where I'm at. I just wanted to show you guys the exact list I have without, like, you know, smooching too much and not being straightforward.
I like this list from what I've seen, and just watching Zach build it the whole time was a great time because, again, he's the king of the grave. So just finding all of the, hey, this interacts this way, hey, I'm going to do this. Like, it's always fun seeing any of your friends, like, excited to build a deck. And this one was, like, a full excitement build. It's very unique. I'm really excited to go through this one.
Well, thanks. So because it's all creatures, everything in here has some kind of ability, either on ETB, on LTB, on, like, just everything. So we're going to be starting off in card draw, and the first card we're looking at is Blex Vexing Pest. It's 2 and a green for a legendary creature, Pest, 3/2. Other pests, bats, insects, snakes, and spiders you control get +1/+1. When Blex Vexing Pest dies, you gain 4 life. So I have this in the card draw section, not for his front section, but his back section. It's Search for Blex. 2 black, 4 sorcery. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may put any number of them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. You lose 3 life for each card you put into your hand this way. So when Yomori is looking to see that all of your cards are the same, it's only looking at the front. So we get to basically sneak into sorcery for free without breaking our rules. So I'm never going to play Vex. I'm only going to do Search because even though I'm basically wanting to look at the top 5 and throw them away, I'm still getting to draw 5 deep and get cards into my graveyard to either make Caridor cheaper to cast or to get a reanimation target or maybe a combo piece or just a utility piece in general to keep my deck going and to keep up with other people.
I like it. Search for Blex is such a cool card.
It is. I put it in every green black deck I have now.
You've got Disciple of Bolas next on your list here. 3 and a black for a human wizard, 2/1. When Disciple of Bolas enters the battlefield, sacrifice another creature. You gain X life, draw X cards, where X is that creature's power. An awesome ETB ability to bring your life back up, get something, like if you have a great ETB, which I'm sure you do throughout the deck, a way to get and recur it from the grave with Caridor. I love Disciple of Olas. It's such a cool wizard. I really like it in Anala.
Yeah, there are a lot of... This card does a lot of work in this deck by helping us sacrifice up to be able to recast it with Caridor's ability or another reanimation effect, letting us draw. And that incidental life gain is huge because we're able to constantly recast Disciple from the grave. It's pretty nice because you're going to draw a lot and heal a lot.
Yeah, I really like your next one too. I always forget that he has access to white. We just went over it. But him having access to white with the grave recursion is like really, really interesting. White only really lacks the ramp of green. So you've got Esper Sentinel. Yeah, I really, really like this card. It's the one human soldier, one white, 1/1. Whenever an opponent casts their first non-creature spell each turn, draw a card unless they pay X, where X is Esper Sentinel's power. That's a great turn one drop. It's great late game to refill your hand.
Yeah, most of the time people aren't going to pay for the one because they typically don't anyways. But there are some ways that we can make this a little bit bigger later on to make it to ensure that we get to draw that card.
Even if you're taxing everyone on one, that's still annoying.
Yeah, and that's what I'm here to do, is to annoy people.
The next one I just read and never heard of it before. I quite like it. Grim Horror Specs. 2 and a black, 3/2 human wizard with morph for a black. But I can see the reason you put it in here. It's the other ability. Whenever another non-token creature you control dies, draw a card.
There aren't many tokens in this deck. I can make them in this deck, but primarily we're going to be sacrificing our stuff. We're going to trade, you know, to, you know, blocks and all that good stuff. Even if our creatures die to something, like, this is going to allow us to constantly not be behind, but just kind of continue to get ahead.
It's always good to die on the draw. Like, if we weren't all creatures, you'd want like a fecundity kind of stuff, but that's not what this is. This is all creatures.
Next creature I love, it's Izoni Thousand Eye, 2 black, black, green, green for legendary creature Elf Shaman, 2/3. It has Undergrowth, which is relevant. When it enters the battlefield, you create a 1/1 black and green insect creature token for each creature card in your graveyard. You can pay a black and a green, you sacrifice another creature, you gain a life and draw a card.
This card I really, really like. I actually just started using it. I kind of overlooked it for a while, thought it was like great, but I started building the old Stickfingers deck. And that deck to me entirely is my deck in my graveyard. And this is just such a cool card. Like, you don't really see it too much, but it does so much for what it is. For a 6 cost, it does a lot.
It's one of those things that if it dies, I don't really care because I'll bring it back and get its awesome ETB. And 2, and sack a creature, you gain a life and draw a card. You already know, like, I play Phyrexian Reclamation, which is similar, but not nearly as good. Izoni's similar, but not nearly as good as Phyrexian Reclamation.
Well, just the ability, like late game, if you have, like you said, you're all creatures, right? So even if half your deck is in, if somebody has the audacity to play mill against this deck and you hit an Izoni, like you're going to make like 30 at least insects, like that's nuts.
And they're only ever going to make Caridor cheaper. Please mill me in this deck. I'm completely fine with that. I'll pay 3 all day for my commander.
Yeah. Ugh. Caridor's so cool. You have Liliana's Standard Bearer, 2 and a black for a 3/1 zombie knight with flash. When it enters, draw X cards, where X is the number of creatures that died under your control this turn. That's always a feel bad when you get board wiped and somebody hits you with something like this, because they're usually, if you're the one casting a board wipe, it's because things aren't going great in your battle plan and they are going better. So if I finally have the resources to kill 10 of Zach's creatures and he draws 10, that's harsh.
And, you know, spoiler, I don't care to discard down to hand size.
Fair. That's very fair.
You've got a squirrel, ravenous squirrel, hybrid, black or green, 1/1. Whenever you sacrifice an artifact or creature, put a +1/+1 counter on it. 1 black, green, sacrifice an artifact or creature, gain a life, draw a card.
I actually like that. Honestly, I didn't know that one.
Yeah, honestly, the squirrel can get huge. Like, it can just be an incidental, like, beater outside of, like, its awesome effect.
Yeah, that's a really good effect. I actually didn't know. Like I was talking about earlier, I'm building Shatterfang, so I'll have to put this in it.
Yeah, Ravenous Squirrel's amazing. And I would be remiss not to put this next card in the deck. It's Solemn Simulacrum. It's a 4-drop, 2/2 artifact creature golem. When it ETBs, you insert your library for a basic land card, put it into play tapped, and then when it dies, you draw a card. Or you may draw a card.
Yeah. If you're running a deck like this, yeah, of course. Solemn does work.
Yeah, like that's what we want. Sometimes you just, like, maybe you don't have the best things to play out of grave just yet, and you need to set up. So being able to just replay your Solemn from grave, or like sacrifice it to draw a card and then draw another card then recast it, like there are a lot of lines of play where just playing Solemn two turns is just insane value. And that's the big thing when you play Abzan, is like you're just constantly looking at what kind of value can you eke ahead of your opponents.
Yeah, what can you get back? And Solemn's such a great thing to recur, right? If you, like you said, you get it back even at all, two uses of a Solemn is very far ahead.
Yeah. All right, so that does it for the card draw section. We're on 8, but I feel like that's kind of fine with how often I'm expecting things to die and being able to recur. I'm not as like scared to push that number any higher. But ramp we're onto now, and I did keep it at the solid 10 because we want to be able to be playing as much as possible per turn. The first creature in this lineup is Beastcaller Savant. It's 1 to green for a 1/1 elf shaman ally. It has haste. You can tap and add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. You can only spend those mana to cast a creature spell. So yeah. It's a mana dork with haste.
Oh, I like your next one. What a great card that they printed, by the way. Circle of Dream Druids. Triple green for an elf druid 2/1. And it's Gaia's Cradle on a Druid. Tap to add a green for each creature you control. Awesome in this deck. You're only gas at every point.
Yep. We have some stuff we're definitely going to talk about. There's a few like awkward looking cards in here with Circle of Dream Druid. It'll make sense, and I'll touch on them when we get there. But just remember, cards like this exist in here for a reason, outside of them just being good.
Okay.
Next on the list is Diamond Lion. It's 2 for an artifact creature, cat, 2/2. You tap it, you discard your hand, you sacrifice Diamond Lion, add 3 mana of any one color, and then you can only activate as an instant.
Yeah.
This is good. makes Carador cheaper randomly. It lets us do everything we want to do. This is a card like Lion's Eye Diamond, obviously, is super powerful for very similar reasons that this card is. The only difference is it's a creature, which makes it better, in my opinion.
They made Diamond Lion activate only as an instant, and it seems like a stupid distinction, but it's so that it's not actually a mana source and can be interacted with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a cool distinction, because I think this is a very breakable card, had they not. But man, Lion Eyes Diamond Loops are fun to do, so.
Then you've got one of the famous mana dorks, Elvish Mystic. 1 mana, 1/1, tap to add a green.
Yeah. We're simple and sweet. That's all we need.
I honestly really, really liked the next card, too. Fabro Elder is just an awesome inclusion for just ramping in general. You have 1/1 green, 1 white for a 0/0 Treefolk Druid. He gets 1/1 for each color among permanents you control. Tap for each color among permanents you control. Add 1 mana of that color. So, ceiling here, 3 mana on the 3, but I just love Fabro Elder. I think that it gives you such good color fixing. It automatically coming out, tapping for white or green. Love it. Man, I love Fabro.
It's good. This next card I was super excited about. Every time I've read this card, I don't understand why it's not like a $10 or $20 card. It's Lord of the Forsaken. It's 4 black for a 6/6 demon with flying and trample. You can pay 1 black and sacrifice another creature. Target player mills 3 cards. So that could be relevant for us, right? It's doing everything we want to do. But the real reason I have it in here is its next ability. You can pay 1 life, add a colors to your mana pool. You spend this mana to cast creature spells from your graveyard.
That's amazing. Like, in every aspect of this deck, that's just an amazing card.
Mm.
You could, like, just with some of the cards we've already talked about, you could easily just you could Disciple of Bolas, gain, you know, maybe 4 life, spend that life to generate colors, mana, to then recast your Solemn from the grave after you've sacrificed it to Disciple of Bolas.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off. The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Well, and you do have such like an easy late game win. I haven't really looked through your mana base, but like, do you have like a Cabal Coffers Urborg kind of thing?
No.
Okay, so good. But if you did, if you have like an Azoni and you make like 30 insects, you can just like mill someone's full deck. It's
there. So I do have an Urborg, but it's not in this deck. I'm getting an Urborg to put in this deck specifically, but not with Cabal Coffers, but with something else that I try to do. But yeah, that's kind of the thing. This deck can win on so many different levels and so many different angles that you just kind of never know, like, what's a combo piece, what's just like a utility piece. Mordred Forsaken on his own, like, I can swing and kill something, or I can swing and do damage and then continue on my turn doing other stupid things.
Well, and it's really nice that neither of those are tap abilities. You can do them whenever you want, so you're not held back by, okay, well, I can't attack with him. A 6/6 flyer at 6, flying trample, amazing stats on a creature. Its other abilities are just amazing for it.
Like I said, I don't know why this card isn't more expensive than what it is. Every time I read it, I'm just like,
it's only cool. Only like $2, $3.
Yeah.
That's pretty wicked. I really like the new Ornithopter, 2 Ornithopter of Paradise. 2 for a 0/2 flyer that taps for 1 mana of any color.
I like this card.
Yeah, it's just good. it pairs, like I said, with Lord of the Forsaken really well. I can bring it out of grave. Or if I need help fixing my mana, let's say that I need that double green because I need triple green for my Circle of Dreams Druid. Ornithopter helps me get there.
Yeah. Your next one really does, too. It's a really fun filter card, the Orochi Leafcaller. The Snake Shaman for 1 mana. It's a 1/1. 1 green, add 1 mana of any color. I really, really like the ability. And with your Circle of Dream Druids mana, sometimes you will need to filter that much green.
Right. And that's kind of what I was talking about there. So I have Circle of Dreams Druid. I have Yevimaya Cradle of Growth. And I have Gaia's Cradle in this deck. So being able to take that green mana and turn it into whatever I might need is super important. This guy looks very like out of place, but when you see it kind of all together, there have been times where I've just been like, man, I'm so glad I have this little guy to be able to generate the color of mana that I need to be able to do something.
Honestly, Yevimaya is also such a good card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really, you know, they need to make a mountain one. Come on.
I'm wanting a plains one. I want that so I can have that Urborg and a plains one in this deck and never care.
That would be cool. I just want a mountain one to play Valakut. I'm a simple man. I understand. Maybe I can understand why no island, no high tide. I get it. I'm on board with you. But give me the plains and the mountain. Come on.
Next card is tried and true and deserves to be an evergreen deck. It's Sakura Tribe Elder, 1 in a green for a 1/1 Snake Shaman. You can sacrifice Sakura Tribe Elder. You can search your library for a basic land card, put it in the battlefield tap, then shuffle.
This guy, Steve.
Everyone does. Like, in this deck, it does a bunch of dumb things because it's recurrable. I can block sack before damage is dealt. Like, it LTB. Just everything.
I really like that card. It's I really learned how good it is seeing it in Marin decks for the first time. Like, it's good in green decks, but in decks that can bring it back, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Same thing for the next card.
Yep.
Yeah, Wood Elves, 2 and a green, 1/1 Elf Scout. When it enters the battlefield, search your library for a forest card, put that onto the battlefield, and shuffle your library.
And note, it's forest, not basic forest, but just forest. So that's
any
why.
Triomes. Have they got the Abzan Triome?
Yes, they do. And Dotha Triome.
Yeah, so you can grab that or any of the shocks.
So that's why it costs 3 and it's worth every mana. So that's my ramp section. A lot of ETB and tap effects, which is kind of what you would expect for an all creature deck. Now we're dealing with my interaction section. There are a ton of different interaction like cards in this deck because you kind of have to. We're doing all creatures. So I've searched through a lot, and I don't know if this is the quote unquote perfect interaction section, but it's the interaction section I'm super happy with. So top of the list is Archon of Cruelty. It's 6 black-black. For a 6/6 flying Archon, when ETBs or attacks, target opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker, discards a card, loses 3 life, you draw a card, and you gain 3 life.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, it's real good. And honestly, 8 mana for it is perfectly fine.
You have Archon of Justice, too. That one's a rough one. 3 double white for a 4/4 Archon. Flying, when it dies, exile target permanent. That one is really, really rough if it starts looping or recurring.
Kind of like the next... I believe he's an Archon as well. Yep. It is. Ashen Rider. Go ahead, Lotus.
4 white, white, black, black for a 5/5 Archon with flying. When Ashen Rider enters the battlefield or dies, exile target permanent.
Yep. Exile target permanent's rough because, like, I understand most people would use it to be like, I'm going to get rid of what's a threat on the board. Like, hey, you have a Smothering Tithes and you're everyone's drawing a lot, but I'm a bad person and I'll hit your land colors.
I've played games where my spells kept getting countered and I got annoyed with it, so I started exiling the blue-producing mana.
Yeah, so you get it.
You're not going to let me play my Sakura Tribe Elder? You're going to wish you did.
Not everyone has a great comeback to having like their land base crippled, and it's really funny to see people lose the colors. We, my meta again, very degenerate people, but we've been playing with, it's a Bob Ross deck, basically. It's all about changing the colors of everything, and watching how people have no answer to like their cards becoming like a reality twisted reality or reality twist, whatever one it is. It's got cumulative upkeep. It makes like your planes tap for forests, your forest tap. It's so funny to just watch people try and piece together what it is.
I love that card. I own most of them, and I'm still tempted to build it.
It's a funny deck, but yeah, again, I'm a bad person. Zach is a more fun person. I'm saying Zach's a more fun person, then I'm like, and then we have Aven Mind Sensor. Zach, who are you? I like to tutor. Aven Mind Sensor, 2 and a white for a 2/1 bird wizard. Flash flying, if an opponent would search their library, that player searches the top 4 cards of that library instead. I've had somebody hit me with this when I'm doing like a Nylea's Intervention and I'm searching for 10 lands, and they're like, hell yeah, buddy, search the top 4. Woo! Then I'm mad for the night.
So I have to make it very clear. Typically, I don't play very staxy, but this is an all creature based deck. I don't want to lose to someone searching, someone doing this, someone doing that. So there are some cards we're going to read in this section that I wouldn't normally play, but in this deck, they are a necessity so that we can do what we want to do. And that's, you know, play from our graveyard.
That's a good card. I'll give you that one.
Next, we have Bane of Progress. 4 double green for a 2/2 elemental. When it ETBs, you destroy all artifacts and enchantments. You put a +1/+1 counter on Bane of Progress for each permanent destroyed this way.
No downside for you in this deck. At no point is it bad to, oh no, you'll destroy your Solemn.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
He's done enough.
Oh, you said no Staxies. You've got Collector Oof. 1 and a green for a 2/2. Activated abilities of artifacts can't be activated.
Normally I wouldn't, you know, stax the table, but there's a creature, it's fine. You can Lightning Bolt this.
True. Oh, I really, really like this one, but you take it because I know you like it more than me.
So the next card is Dothi Voidwalker. It's double black for a 3/2 Dothi Rogue. It has Shadow, so it can't block or be blocked by creature. Or, I'm sorry. It can't be blocked, and you can't block it unless the creature has Shadow. And if a card be put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, instead exile it with a Void counter on it. You can tap and sacrifice Dothi Voidwalker. Choose an exiled card an opponent owns with a Void counter on it. You may play it with this or without paying its mana costs.
What a silly card. They honestly never should have printed that card. Every time I see it, I'm just like, why is this a thing? And it's still sub $10.
You know what's even better about Dothi Voidwalker?
The recurring
Dothi.
Yep.
Recurring Dothi Voidwalker for 2 mana.
Well, because it doesn't, he doesn't care if it's exiled with him. He just looks for things in exile with Void counters.
Mm-hmm. So I can leave him on the battlefield, get someone's Omniscience or something stupid, play it, then with Carador's ability, just bring Dothi back.
If a card would be put into an opponent's graveyard from over, that's rough. I thought it was a creature. But yeah, that's even better.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, especially if you're sitting there just like, if you hit with that mill creature, you know that I've tutored something great. You're like, hey, Daniel, mill 3 cards, and then you take whatever I was looking for. Oh, top deck control is good. Also, this next card is really, really good. It's one of the best green cards of the year, I would say. Druid of Purification, three and a green for a 2/3 human druid. This better be in your druid deck, Lotus.
It definitely is.
Okay, good, good. When Druid of Purification enters the battlefield, starting with you, each player may choose an artifact or enchantment you don't control. Destroy each permanent chosen this way.
It's good.
People can technically team up and be like, let's all choose the one. But no one ever does. No one ever plays it that way and thinks they can. They're like, well, I guess we'll choose a different one. And it always destroys three things when it hits the table.
My thing is, like, if I'm playing this, typically it's like, look, guys, this needs to go, and you know it needs to go. And then that guy's like, well, that's bullcrap, and that needs to go. Like, well, we all know that needed to be the problem.
I really, really like that card. Eternal Witness as well in this deck is just going to be nonstop good because it'll get you everything back you need. You can get it back. Like, Eternal Witness is great. A great way to even skip your commander tax with Carador if you let it go to grave and have E-Witness in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So Eternal Witness, if anyone doesn't know, 1/1 green, 2/1 human shaman. When it enters the battlefield, you may return target card from the graveyard to your hand.
Next card is Foundation Breaker. It's 3 and a green for a 2/2 elemental. When it ETBs, you destroy a target artifact or enchantment, and you can evoke it for 1 and a green. So you can cast it for it's an evoke spell, and then you sacrifice it when it ETBs if you evoke it. So for 2 mana, I'm just going to destroy a target artifact or enchantment, put that in my graveyard, then do it again, probably.
So it's basically having a sorcery without having a sorcery.
Yep.
Well, and evoke does not say from your hand, so you can just keep evoking it from the grave. That's wicked.
That's how I've understood it, and that's how I play it.
You may cast it for its evoke. Yeah, Gaddock Teague. I am this kind of a bad person. Gaddock Teague, what a strong mustache. 1 green, 1 white for a 2/2 Kithkin Advisor. It's probably the best Salt Your Friends creature that I would say exists at this mana cost. Non-creature spells with CMC 4 or greater cannot be cast, which really doesn't sound like a lot, but it shuts off whole decks. Yeah. if you've got a Spellslinger deck, like someone playing like a Vadrick or a Kalamax, yeah, go ahead, try Nexus of Fate. It's not going to work. And then non-creature spells with X can't be cast. That's also very rough. I really, really like Gaddock Teague.
I do too. This is all creatures deck. Like, we're probably going to lose to a Nexus of Fate. We're probably going to lose to a Rise of the Dark Realms.
Gaddock Teague is really fun too, because a lot of the time it's going to make everyone angry. It's going to paint a giant target on Gaddock Teague, and usually you get over that by killing it. And the answer to that, if you're the Gaddock Teague player, is having it in the command zone and just playing it again and be like, oh, boo-hoo. But that's essentially what you have right now, is the ability to just keep replaying it. So it's very funny, because people have to remove it to get their other things through. So they're wasting removal in like a not-as-ideal space. But it's just really fun to see Gaddock Teague hold the table back, and then just the floodgate of spells open when it's finally through.
I refused to lose to a Sanguine Bond, or not Sanguine Bond, but, well, yeah, even Sanguine Bond. Or I refuse to lose to an Exquisite Blood or anything like that. We're not doing none of that stuff.
Yeah.
Someone can take this next card. It's also sweet.
I love Gissa, the Glorious Resurrector. She was my commander recently. 2 black-black for a 4/4 human wizard. If a creature an opponent controls would die, exile it instead. At the beginning of your upkeep, put all creature cards exiled with Gissa onto the battlefield under your control, they gain decayed.
Yeah.
I like playing with other people's stuff.
It's super good. I mean, I play Shuri, Shiro's Caretaker, and having another version of it is amazing.
Next card. Oh, do you want to read it, Dan?
I love this card. Giver of Ruins is such a good card. Core Cleric. It's 1 for a 1/2 cleric. And yeah, tap another target creature you control gains pro colorless, or the color of your choice at the end of the turn. Such a good card. I love Giver of Runes.
Yep. So maybe we do want to protect our Gaddock Teague or our Dothy Voidwalker, something like that. And this will do that.
Well, and again, the ability to recur it is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I spoke too soon with getting excited. Zach, you take this one, but it's like my favorite art. One of them.
Ranger Captain of Eos. It's 1 white-white for a human soldier. Knight, it's a 3/3. When it ETBs, you may search your library for a creature card with mana value 1 or less, reveal it, and put it in your hand and shuffle. You can sacrifice Ranger Captain of Eos. Your opponents can't cast non-creature spells this turn.
Awesome card.
I've looped this before. It's real fun.
That's funny.
I know what I'm about, Dan.
Yeah. You have Ravenous Chupacabra, 2 double black for a 2/2 beast horror. When it enters, destroy target creature an opponent controls. Nothing to shake your head at there to just constantly blow creatures up.
Mm-hmm.
What a weird looking artwork, too.
For Ravenous?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next card on the list is Sarah's Emissary, 4 triple white for a 7/7 angel with flying. As an ETBs, you choose a card type. You and creatures you control have protection from the chosen card type.
Yep.
I'm just going to say sorcery.
I'm going to just say creatures and swing in and kill everyone.
That too.
It's Sarah's Emissary is the pinnacle of power spike. It's a nuts card. The ability to recur it is crazy, but yeah. I'm playing against 2 creature decks. Okay, I and everything I control have creatures or pro creatures.
Mm-hmm.
All of your source or all of your stuff is instant. You're trying to kill me with a fireball. Good luck, man. That's a good card. And 7/7 too. 7/7 flying angel is already good stats as well.
Mm-hmm. Someone want to take this last one in the interaction section?
Wandering Archaic, 5 mana, 4/4 avatar. Whenever an opponent casts an instant sorcery spell, they may pay 2. If they don't, you may copy that spell, and you may choose new targets for the copy. And on the reverse side is Explore the Wastelands, a sorcery. Each player may look at the top 5 cards of their library, reveal a land card and or instant or sorcery card from among them, and put the cards revealed this way in their hand and the rest on the bottom. In a random order, each player gains 3 life. That's 3 mana. But I doubt you'll ever cast that side.
Nope. I want Wandering Archaic every single time because this is such a fun card.
Wandering Archaic's awesome.
We're not playing instants or sorceries, but now we might be.
Yeah.
So normally we wouldn't talk about the land section, but because it's an all creature deck, there are a lot of utility lands. So I'll just knock out some of the cards in this section because some people might not know about these. So the first one I want to talk about is Ancient Ziggurat. It's a land, and you can tap it. You add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Spend this mana only to play creature spells. No downside in this deck. We're completely fine. Next is Bonder's Enclave. You can tap it for a colorless. You can pay 3, tap it, you draw a card. You activate this ability only if you control a creature with power of 4 or greater. Also easy to do, and it's a land, which means we're going to get to probably draw a card every single time we want to draw a card. Dan, do you want to take Diamond Valley?
Because this is just kind of like staring at it with a giant smile. Diamond Valley is one of my favorite utility lands when I'm playing Hydras. It's tap to sack one of your creatures in exchange for a number of life points equal to its toughness. It can be used after blocking has been declared. So it just gives you a sack life gain on a land. And if you, like you said, you're running Yavi Maya, it's also going to be tapping for a forest later in the game. But, yeah, Diamond Valley and just being able to throw your creatures away to gain their life is awesome. It's such a good card. It's expensive because it's an old card, but proxies exist.
Yeah, newsflash, I definitely proxy in this deck. But I'm not going to play the cards I don't want to play because of it. Diamond Valley's sweet because it lets us, like Dan said, it lets us gain life, which is pretty relevant in this deck because we are playing all creatures. So being able to constantly just gain life is fine. It also lets us, you know, either get something in the grave we had no way to get in grave so we can recast, or if there's an LTB we want to take advantage of, Diamond Valley, perfect way to do it. I already said we have Gaia's Cradle. You know what it does, legendary land, tap it, add a green to your mana pool for each creature you control.
I love the Triumphs, to be honest.
Yeah, Triumphs are great. Like, I have Andaltha Triumph in here too. You know, it's a plain swamp forest. It comes into play tap and it cycles for 3, but it's all 3 colors. Where all 3 colors were on. I don't have Urborg in here yet because I didn't have access to one at the time. And like I said, I wanted to be on the up and up about what cards I actually have in the deck. I did pick this card up for realsies, and I'm very happy I did. It's Yavimaya Hollow. It's a legendary land. You can tap it to add a colorless to your mana pool, or you can pay green and tap it to regenerate target creature. It's phenomenal.
I love that card. Honestly, I'm pretty sure that's a... Is that not a reserveless card?
Think so.
I know it desperately needs to be reprinted, regardless of you can like the reserve list, you can, but this one needs it. This has so much utility in Commander. It's such a good card.
Mm-hmm. And Yavimaya, Cradle of Growth. It's legendary land. Each land is a forest in addition to its other types.
Yeah. What an amazing card. That's awesome. Maybe at the end of the year I'll do like a list of our favorite cards it'll be a 3-hour long episode because I had a lot of cards I really liked this year. But
yeah, I think we all did.
Yeah, Yavi Maya is definitely one of them. I just want just a mountain one. I just want to play Valakut. Come on. Price spike this Valakut.
All right, so we're in our last section, which is probably going to be the longest section because it has the most cards. These are, I just put in the creature section because they all do something, and I don't know if they fit in the other three categories as well, so they just got left here. And at the top of our list, starting off, is Carrion Feeder. It's one black for a zombie. It's a 1/1. It can't block, but you can sacrifice a creature to put a +1/+1 counter on Carrion Feeder.
Good sack outlet.
Yep.
Good sack outlet, can get big incidentally, lets us get LTBs and reset creatures to use their ETB. Love it.
Corpse Connoisseur is a really, really fun card to play. Again, another great one for Anala if you're playing wizards. Zombies a super relevant tribe right now. It's 4 and a black for a 3/3 zombie wizard. When it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a creature card, put it into your graveyard if you do shuffle and it has Unearth. Return it from your graveyard to the battlefield, it gains haste, exile at the end step. So that's not going to be so much for you because you can just play it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a tutor to your grave, and that to you is a tutor to hand.
Yep. It does exactly what we wanted to do. It's basically an entomb for 5 on a creature, which if we have Emori down, it's entomb for 4.
Yep.
I wouldn't be playing an Abzan deck without some kind of attrition, so we have Corpse Knight. It's white and a black for a 2/3 zombie knight. Yes, I play the 2/3 one, not the 2/2 one. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses 1 life. This is a win condition in and of itself. You can get into some loops, or you can just get to the point where you just have played creatures so many times that people have just lost life.
Yep. And anyone listening, it is errata to 2/2.
But I play the 2/3. I looked for it, I searched for it, I got it, I earned it, that's what it is.
Is it errata to 2/2?
Yes, they are all 2/2s, but they did misprint them as 2/3s, but...
The card says what it says, Lotus. I have...
So does Companion.
I have only... Yeah, let's play it that way then. I have only the brain power to read what's printed on the card. It's not my fault if you don't know it.
Look, if we ever sat down, even if I'm not playing my Carador deck and someone's like, oh, I have a companion deck, can we play it like it was intended? Yeah, play it like it's intended. I don't care.
Commander, they pull out Lutri.
Lutri's banned, but I'll still let you play your Lutri if you want.
I have a Lutri commander deck. I have a lot of banned commander decks now. I'm becoming a commander deck outlaw with the way they're banning things.
Keeping up with our attrition-based stuff, we have Cruel Celebrant, also a white and a black for a 1/2 vampire. Unfortunately, it was printed as 1/2, so all we have is 1/2s. But when it or another creature or planeswalker you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life, and you gain 1 life. Once again, you can get into loops here, or maybe you're just like playing the deck as it's intended, and you're just constantly sacrificing creatures and bringing them back. So Cruel Celebrant just kind of gets us there.
Generally, when you're playing Magic, you have to do a pros and cons. You have to say, is it worth swinging because I'm going to lose my creature and stuff? Is this trade worth it? Is Lotus going to block with something important enough for my creature to die? But when you have like a deck that's focused entirely on the ability to recast from the graveyard, that threat assessment entirely changes, right? So Cruel Celebrant and all those like attrition-based ones, like you said, they just become suddenly so much better because you don't really care that much. Like, short of somebody slapping down a Dranith Magistrate early in the game, you're going to just continue to steamroll through them and recast your creatures. And spoiler, if somebody plays a Dranith Magistrate, usually like the weakness is that it's going to hold you in check, but you're all creatures, so you're just going to swing at them until it's dead.
Yep.
Right?
Or play a Ravenous Chupacabra.
Yeah. Well, and then the next card is like a great example of ways that you can swing at someone who's annoyed you. And it's Endray's Forerunners. 5 triple green for a 7/7 Vigilance Trample Haste. When it enters the battlefield, the other creatures you control get +2/+2 Vigilance and Trample to the end of turn. It's a game-ending card.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a budget, which sounds funny because the deck is expensive, but this is my budget Craterhoof Behemoth. I really like Endray's Forerunner. It has a lot of, you know, keywords on it, which is always fun, and I think the Vigilance is really cool. The +2 is what it's in here for, but just being able to get Vigilance and Trample, like, you know, if our Carrion Feeder has been left alone and suddenly it's a 11/11, like, now it's a 13/13 with Trample.
Yeah. Great. Craterhoof's good. But... Yeah, Craterhoof's good, but I just... not everything has to be Crater Hoof and Cyclonic Rift, guys. There's other ways to build decks. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I do it. I really like Andreas Forerunners. Mm-hmm. I also really, really like the next card, but I would be remiss if you didn't take it, Zach.
So we can play Birthing Pod because it's an artifact, but we can play Fiend Artisan. It's a hybrid green-black for a 1/1 nightmare. It gets +1/+1 for each creature card in your graveyard. You can pay X and a hybrid black-green. You tap it, but you sacrifice another creature. Search your library for a creature card with CMC X or less. Put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Activate this ability only anytime you can cast a sorcery.
That's a really powerful card.
Yeah, it's really good. On its face, just its stats alone are generally pretty nuts. I've never seen it come down as like a 2/2. Every time I see it hit the board, it's like an 18/18. It's always huge. And then, yeah, just the ability to throw it, because you got to remember, it's pumping itself when it hits the grave, the creature it sacks. Yep. Like it's a good card.
Yeah, it's always checking for cards in your graveyard.
It should have been legendary and any instant speed, and that would have been an amazing deck.
Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, but yeah, I agree.
Okay, now, should have now been go a commander. Ahead, now go ahead.
Sorry, I play Manless Dredge in Legacy, and I just saw the next cards, and they just made me excited.
Well, we've talked about this many times, Liz.
Golgari Drake Grave Troll, 4 and a green for a troll skeleton. It's a 0/0. When it enters the battlefield with +1 counter for each creature in your graveyard, 1, remove a counter, and regenerate it. But that is irrelevant. It's the Dredge 6. So instead of drawing a card, you can instead, as long as this is in your graveyard, return it to your hand and mill 6.
Yep. Oh no!
And then you have the Golgari Thug, which is a 1 and a black for a 1/1. When it dies, put target creature card from your graveyard on top of your library, and it has Dredge 4. This, just fantastic card.
A great card, but this is honestly the secret lair that I wish I would have gotten the most. I always look at the cards, all of the artwork in this stuff, and I just so sad about it. It's Dan Mumford you like as well, right, Zach?
Yeah, so Dan Mumford is my favorite artist outside of Magic, so when he started doing Magic stuff, I lost my mind. He does a lot of artwork for my favorite band, the Black Dahlia Murder. So as soon as I saw this secret lair, I was like, oh my god. Like, all the lands in here are all Dan Mumford lands, and almost all the basic lands, I should say, are all Dan Mumford lands, and I have almost all of them foiled. I'm just missing some planes now. I love his artwork, and he's such a nice guy.
The artwork on this is amazing. All of the flavor text on these ones were so... It was, mm-hmm. Like I said, it was a secret lair I should have purchased, I don't like Wizards alone.
If you're unaware, it's Golgari Thug, Blood Gas, and it's Life from the Loam, and they all make a panorama.
Oh, I didn't know it was a panorama. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yep, Life from the Loam is the centerpiece, and then Blood Gas is on the left, and Thug is on the right.
That's wicked.
I wish I got this so much.
I love the flavor text on this one, the What is Death, he asked the Raven, your next birth, it replied. Oof. Absolutely yes. Love the card.
It's phenomenal.
Maybe at the event today I can find some of those. I should search their secret lairs. We'll see.
So, I wouldn't be playing a black deck that recurs without this guy. It's Grey Merchant of Asphodel, 3 black-black for a zombie. That's a 2/4. When it ETBs, each opponent loses X life, where X is your devotion to black. You gain life equal to the life lost this way. So for every black pip you got, when this guy ETBs, each opponent loses life, and then you gain however much life was lost this way. Sometimes we just end the game, you know? Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Gary is such a good card.
Mm-hmm. Also, another really good card to constantly bring back is Hornet Queen. It's 4 triple green for a 2/2 insect that's flying and death touch. And when it ETBs, you create 4 1/1 green insect creature tokens with flying and death touch. So just constantly recurring this card is great because you suddenly have a board that no one wants to swing into. Oh, you're playing dragons? Cool.
Please attack. I was looking through the next ones, and I've got to let you take the next three. Like, it's there. Go. Just yeah. Go, Zach. Just go.
So we have Karmic Guide, 3 double white for an Angel Spirit 2/2 pro from black. It has Echo, which whatever, I'm not going to get into Echo. When it ETBs, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Recursion on a creature. I love this card. Next, we have Mothra Supersonic Queen, also known as... what is that card called?
Dominaria, or what is it? Luminous Broodmoth.
Luminous Broodmoth. Dominaria. two double white for a 3/4 flying insect. Whenever a creature you control without flying dies, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control with a flying counter on it. I love this card. I have a foil Mothra, and I'm so happy I have it. And another just absolute banger in this deck is Marin Clan of Nel'Toth. Two black green for a 3/4 legendary creature human shaman. Whenever another creature you control dies, you get an experience counter. At the beginning of your end step, choose target creature card in your graveyard. If that creature's CMC is less than or equal to the number of experience counters you have, return to the battlefield, otherwise put it into your hand. And experience counters, like, they stay on the battlefield even if Marin's not there. So if Marin dies for some reason and then comes back, she'll still know, oh, I had 5 experience counters. So in step, search, you know, look for creatures, 5 CMC.
Experience survives death.
It does. So definitely three good reanimation creatures. There's still some more reanimation creatures to go, but I've talked a little bit. Someone else needs to take the next card.
Lotus, please.
Nantuko Husk, 2 and a black for a 2/2 zombie insect. Sacrifice a creature. Nantuko Husk gets +2/+2 to end a turn. Just another one of those creatures that gets huge.
Now, I'm sure there's some better creature sac outlets, but I have a soft spot for Nantuko Husk. It was one of the first cards that I really got to play with when I started doing the whole like sacrificing and like kind of figuring out what I like to do in Magic. So I have a foil one from back in the day, so I always put it in decks like this.
This next card, pardon me. There we go. This next card, sorry about that. I started seeing, like, just first off, I love the artwork. We've talked endlessly about how much we all like Ikoria, but I loved this. It really, really reminded me of like some like very Princess Mononoke like artwork, and I just thought it was so cool. But Brian actually built this deck, and it's just such a cool deck to see go off. Nethroi Apex of Death is 2/1 green, 1 black, and 1 white. For 5/5 Cat Nightmare Beast, it has Mutate. For 4, a hybrid, white or green, and then black. It has Death Touch Lifelink. When it mutates, return any number of target creatures with total power 10 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. It's even better because you can mutate out of grave.
Yeah, well, and it's just such a cool... It's a cool... Recursion. I really like the Death Touch Lifelink stats on it. But yeah, there's a really, really fun with like Scourge of the Skyclaves thing, mm-hmm. because it's the -20. It's a very, very fun card.
I can never explain it right, so I never put it in the deck. But yeah, that's something you can definitely do. My favorite thing is when I mill, or this goes into the grave, so I can mutate from grave onto Caridor, get its ability, and then if I have a Karmic Guide in grave, it just like this can steamroll into a. I just got my board wiped, and suddenly my entire board is back and worse than what that you guys had to deal with. Like Dan said,
mutate's a mechanic I didn't really like, but watching people who have put together mutate decks, like I personally didn't like it, but it's been really, really cool seeing like the creativity that came from the mechanic. It is a really, really cool mechanic.
I love Mutate. I had a Nethroi deck because I built all the Abzan decks at one point in time. I had everything. I had a Mutate deck around Nethroi. My Mimeoplasm deck is a Mutate deck. I love the mechanic. Like, I cannot wait to go back to Ikoria, or I cannot wait to go back to a place where we can get Mutate because it's an amazing mechanic. Also, this art, I like it because it reminds me of a Skinwalker, and I'm a huge Cryptid fan, so like, I love this art.
I must admit, Mutate deck was awesome because we had a game where I was obviously playing Chromat Mutate. Mm-hmm. I love that deck.
Yeah,
love Mutate so much.
It is just a really cool card. Brian really gave me a lot of respect for this one. Like, he built a really cool deck out of it, and Brian doesn't build too many decks. So like he generally likes to upgrade his like his Selvol has gone through like 30 changes, right? So
right.
It's been really fun to see like him like build this deck. It's like a really unique deck. Yeah, I was playing with Brian yesterday. It was a good time. The next one is weird, weird artwork, and I'm super into it. You've got Phyrexian Delver, 3 double black for a 3/2 zombie. When it comes into play, return target creature from your graveyard to play. You lose life equal to its CMC. That's fine.
Yeah. We have found out, and it's incidentally, I have a lot of life gain in this deck, so
yeah,
this is fine. Even if I didn't, I don't care. This card's amazing.
Yeah, that's very cool. Life's a resource. You got to spend it.
Yep. Speaking of amazing cards, Priest of Felrites, a white and a black for a 2/2 human warlock. You can tap it, pay 3 life, and sacrifice it. Return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. You activate only as a sorcery, and then it has Unearth for 3, a white and a black.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me happy.
Oh, Ranger of Eos. I love all of these cards. They're super. All of the Eos cards are great. 3 and a white for a 3/2 human soldier. When it enters the battlefield, you can search for up to 2 creature cards with CMC 1 or less. Reveal them, put them into your hand. If you do, shuffle. I love it. You have a lot of like good cards at that cost, like your Mother of Runes, or not Giver Mother of Runes. Yeah, Giver of Runes. Yeah, the same thing, but.
Yeah, except, you know, can hit herself and the colorless.
Yeah, but Ranger of Eos is just a really fun one.
Yeah, there are a lot of targets in this deck. When we get to the end and I talk about some of the cards I'm missing, there's a card I think I might replace Ranger for, but we'll get there in a minute.
All right.
You've got Revelark, 4 and a white for a 4/3 flying elemental. When Revelark leaves the battlefield, return up to 2 target creature cards with power 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, and you can evoke it for 5 and a white.
Yeah, you definitely can evoke it. We shouldn't have an issue getting mana to do basically whatever we want. Most of the time, I just like hard casting it and using it as a blocker or just sacrificing it to something else. This is a good target for another disciple like ETB.
I love Revelark. It's very fun to loop with as well. But I have to talk about the next one because, first off, it's amazing in this deck. This is a great inclusion. Safi Eric's Daughter is 1 green, 1 white for a 2/2 human scout. It has sacrifice Safi Eric's Daughter. When this creature's put into a graveyard this turn, when target creature's put into a graveyard this turn, return it to the battlefield. So it will get you your ETB trigger. It gives them like a pseudo indestructible. I really, really like Safi. But the reason I like it so much is because of Hans. And Safi and Hans function like they have partner. And if you don't believe me, well, you're wrong. So they're like my favorite. Like, again, I keep talking about like these illegal deck pairings. And I love playing Safi and Han together. They're like such a fun one. They're so on flavor for lore. They should have the partner. Anyone who won't let you play it that way doesn't like fun. But again, there's no right or wrong way to play. But in this deck, back to this deck, Safi does so much because you can bring it back so easy. This is nothing to get back. And the ability to just have it constantly protecting whatever's important is so good.
Safi does a lot in this deck. I have sweat when I see a hand that has Safi in it. Like, I automatically keep it because I'm like, I'm fine. I'm okay.
A phenomenal reprint from this year too, by the way. Like, it was so good. Like, it was a pricey card for a while.
It was. I kid you not, when this came out, because I like the art better for this one anyways. Me too. When this came out, I went to 2 of my LGSs and I bought them out entirely of this Safi specifically. Because, like, I needed them and I didn't have them. So I went from having no Safis to, like, almost 20. And I've used all of them.
Yeah. Jump into this next one. It's a very cool inclusion.
So we have Sigardin Savior. It's 3 white-white for a 3/3 angel with flying. When it ETBs, if you cast it, return up to 2 target creature cards with mana value 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So it's a cheaper Sun Titan with better evasion, I guess? And with how Caridor functions, we'll probably want to cast this card to get back like a Safi back.
It is cast, not cast from hand, yeah.
Yeah, so get back a Safi or get back maybe a priest or even like a Corpse Knight. You know, like there are a bunch of really good targets because I have a lot of very low cost creatures in this deck that do a lot of great things. So being able just to cast them, you know, get them back is good.
Yeah. And then you great segue straight into Sun Titan. One more mana, so 4 and double white for a 6/6 vigilance. But this is when it enters the battlefield or attacks, which people keep forgetting, I've noticed.
They always forget the on attack trigger.
Yeah. You may return target permanent with mana value 3 or less from the graveyard to the battlefield, so lands, anything.
It's great. I've used Sun Titan so many times to just extend my plays and extend my turns. Because sometimes, like, I'll attack with Sun Titan, I'll sacrifice Safi to make Sun Titan. When it dies, it comes back. I'll sacrifice Sun Titan to something stupid, like an Intisco Husk. It comes back, I get Safi back, and then you can just do that. like as much as you would.
I also like the flavor text, a blazing sun that never sets, and then you read terminate, which says all suns must set, and it's just Sun Titan being annihilated.
And then there's the anime dead art from Graveborn that is Sun Titan being animated back to life as a zombie. I want the secret lair should have been the Grave Titan that was actually Sun Titan. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I know I have the younger brother of this card, or younger sister of this card, I should say, in the interaction section. I could have put this one there, but it's here, whatever. It's Timeless Witness. It's 2 double green for a 2/1 human shaman. When it ETBs, return target card from your graveyard to your hand, and it has Eternalized for 5 double green, so it comes back as a 4/4 black zombie creature token, I believe, with the same effect. So it gets bigger. Just having multiple like redundancy is what's really helping this deck to continue to move forward and continue to progress forward. So being able to get your stuff back more often is really good, because you know sometimes we do have a situation where we need to cast something.
This next one is super, super good from the new set.
Mm-hmm.
Will involve Oddity, 2 double green for a Trample Haste 4/4 beast that has 5 green, transform it to give other creatures you control 1/1 Trample Haste. That's awesome.
So I have to really, really talk about this card. When this was spoiled, I absolutely lost my mind, because the thing that I think this deck misses out on the most is haste. We do have, like, there's a land card that I'm going to talk about that I have in a different deck that I'm thinking about moving over here, but we don't have a lot of ways to flash out creatures. We don't have a lot of way to enable our creatures to have haste. So as soon as I saw Unvald Behemoth, I lost my mind, because this card can allow us to just win the game the turn it comes out. Because a lot of our creatures are very good, but we just can't attack the same turn we play them most of the time. So we're dealing with a lot of ETB, you know, LTB. So if someone has like a Turper Orb or something like that, we're kind of boned. But this card on its, you know, effects or its transformation allows us to say, okay, that's cool. I'm suddenly going to make a ginormous, I don't know, carrion feeder. God. Yeah. Anything that eats things. This guy just suddenly kills it all. It's insane. Like, get this card, play it. It might sound like a lot to transform it, but it's not. Especially in green, it's not, and it's worth it.
I also really, really think that the flavor text on it's interesting. The front side is obviously it's dangerous, but I've never seen anything like it. This could be an entirely new species. I say we follow it. And that's Helena Kessig Ranger. The flip side is we've learned enough. I say we run, and that's Alana Kessig Trapper. I love it. Whoops. I really, really like that fun flavor text.
All right, so next card on the list is Vial and Tumor, 2 double black for a 2/2 zombie warlock with death touch. When it ETBs, you search your library for a card, you put that card in grave, and then you shuffle.
Yep.
So just another amazing ETB that we're going to take full advantage of to go get something we need that we want to play with Caridor.
Is it Diabolic Tutor?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a tutor for you.
It's Diabolic mm-hmm. Tutor, but death touch?
You're thinking it's Entomb.
No, because you're for you, I'm counting your grave as your hand, so.
Oh, okay, then yes, yeah.
It's a diabolic tutor with death touch for you.
It's got legs.
Yeah.
It does. It is a stick.
Viscera Seers, definitely in a deck like this. 1 black for a 1/1 vampire wizard, sack a creature, scry 1. That's nothing wrong in that.
The next card is another new addition, and I love it in this deck. It's Willowgeist. It's 1 green for a 1/1 treefolk spirit. It has trample. Whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, you put a +1/+1 counter on Willowgeist, and when Willowgeist dies, you gain life equal to its power.
I love this card so much. It's in my Slowgurk decks, and it's powerful.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Like, the first time when I saw this card spoiled, I was like, are you kidding me? This is so good. It being super cheap to cast is great. It having evasion and trample is already awesome, but it's whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard. So it doesn't care how they go bye-bye, just so long as they go bye-bye. So
yeah, if you Bajuka bogged, sadly, would still mega buff this.
Yep. Or if you get into these loops where suddenly you're able to, you know, maybe your Sun Titan and Safi and Willowgeist is on the battlefield, and well, Willowgeist is going to be very, very big with trample, and then you can just kill someone with combat damage. Or if you're about to die, you're not going to die anymore.
You can tell exactly what excites me about cards because I'm sitting here just smiling about the flavor text on this one again. I love the flavor text. I think it's like the best part of the card a lot of the time, that and the artwork. But it's Die Beneath a Tree, Wake Up a part of it. Love it. I love this card. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good for Muldrotha too.
Yeah. A lot of these cards pair very well with Muldrotha.
Yep.
If only it was Abzan.
And I'll let you take it home with the last one.
Final card on the list is Zilliport Cutthroat. It's 1 black for a human rogue ally, 1/1. Whenever Zilliport Cutthroat or another creature you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. I very much love the attrition-based stuff as well. That's part of the color pairing for Abzan, white-black. And this guy just lets us get there. So if we can't win through combat damage, we can win through attrition. If we can't win through attrition, we can win through combat damage. We also have the ability to mill people out in this deck. We can certainly win with commander damage as well. You can mutate Nethroi onto Caridor, and suddenly our Caridor is a 5/5 with Death Touch and Lifelink, which isn't anything to scoff at, you know? Like, that's a clock, and do you really want to block a Death Touch creature that I can just bring back?
it's not a good trade.
No. So this is the deck. I'm absolutely in love with this deck. It makes me so happy to, like, talk about it, to play it, because we don't often see in what people refer to as, like, oops, all creatures. Like, I intentionally made this creatures. There's no oops involved. Yomori makes... Then you have to think, too, when Yomori's on the battlefield, it makes all these creatures cheaper, and Yomori can go to the graveyard. It doesn't get exiled or anything, so we can recast Yomori from the grave to continue to make our game plan that much cheaper. There are a few cards that I was talking about that I don't happen to have at the moment, so I just kind of want to go over them, like, fairly quickly, because I wanted to be, like I said, straightforward with you guys. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. So the first card is Winding Canyons. It's a land, and you can tap it for a colorless, but you can pay 2 and tap it. Until end of turn, you may play creature cards whenever you could play instant. So it gives your creature spells flash, essentially. I have this in a different deck, and I haven't moved it over yet, but I think I'm going to, because we're playing all creatures. It's another utility land that I think would just be absolutely phenomenal here, where we can just kind of get that, like, pseudo-haste type thing, right? You know, like, keep up our mana, play all of our stuff at the end step, before our turn, we go to our turn, and suddenly, like, we have a board state where we can swing with our Sun Titan, or we can swing with something, you know, an Archon of Cruelty, or something that we want to be able to get multiple attacks off the same turn. The Winding Canyons is one thing. I would probably just remove a basic land, or one of my utility lands that aren't as relevant. Another card that I would like to put in is Recruiter of the Guard. It's 2 and a white for a 1/1 human soldier. When an ETBs, you may search your library for a creature card with toughness 2 or less, reveal it and put it in your hand, then shuffle. I would probably remove the Ranger of Eos for this card, because it's obviously Recruiter's cheaper at being 3 instead of 4, and it's going to hit a lot more of our stuff. We do have a lot of really good creatures that are cheaper, and Ranger does let us get 2, but I want more of, like, my, not necessarily combo pieces, but more of my utility pieces in Ranger. And the last card that I just haven't had time to pick up yet that I think would be absolutely insane in this deck is Vizier of the Menagerie. It's 3 and a green for a 3/4 Naga Cleric. You can look at the top card of your library at any time. You may cast the top card of your library if it's a creature card, and you can spend mana as though or any color to cast the spell. So this just, once again, if our graveyard's already in our hand, why not make the top of our deck our hand too? And it's mana fixing, because all of our spells are creatures, so might as well just get there a little bit further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's I also, definitely agree with that one.
Yeah, there's also, I've thought about getting Prowling Serpapod. It can't be countered, and creature spells you control can't be countered. It's a creature itself, and it costs 3. I have it in my book, and I've, like, looked at it a couple times, but I don't know that I care if my creatures get countered, is the thing.
Yeah, if they want to blow through their counters for that, then you just recast them? Oh no.
Yeah. So that's where I've been with that. So those were the 4 cards that, like, well, the 3 cards I know I want to add, and then 1 that I'm, like, on the fence about. But I love this deck. Like, the thing that makes me so happy about Abzan is that it does so many different things. Like, there are a lot of color combinations that do a lot of things, but I don't know how many, like, I've built every Abzan commander. There's reanimation, there's +1/+1 counters, there's token, like, decks, there's mutate decks, there's so many things that you can do, and this is just another thing that you can do, where you just make an all-creature deck. Like, it's so much fun, and if I've taught you anything today, let it be known that creatures are so powerful now, as opposed to where they were, and there's literally a creature for everything that you want. You just, you know, sometimes have to make a little bit of extra wiggle room to get there.
Well, and you're at a really good, like, your curve, like, your average cost, 3.6, that's in a green deck nothing.
Yeah, I've been very strict about, like, what I was doing. And I've been playing only 34 lands. I play 35 here because I do have so many search effects that I want to be able to get there. And I can't always guarantee I'm going to have a ramp spell or a card draw spell, because typically, you know, we're looking at a Soul Ring or a Rampant Growth or something that's fairly cheap. So sometimes I can't always guarantee that I'm going to have that colorless ramp spell to get me there. So having that extra land I have found does help. And stuff like Ancient Ziggurat, where I can just boom, go right into a colored spell of any types right alongside of Command Tower, is really helpful.
Well, and having Caridor too, right? You have to remember, there's a lot of, like, potential. We just went through it, right? There's a ton of, like, toolbox things for you to draw. But you'll have the things in your grave too, right? So you want the mana to cast, ideally, like, you're going to cast from hand and from grave in a single turn. And that does really add up with mana. Like, you don't want a super low base. Like you said, it's not like you're, like, stocked full of rocks. There's no mana crypt or anything in here. Like, you stuck to what you wanted to build.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's why Yomori is so good. Like, I really wish when I play this deck, I always ask, like, hey, do you guys care if I play this, like, how Companion was intended? And people say, yeah, cool. People say, no, whatever. Like, it doesn't affect me too negatively, but that one reduction is actually, like, really relevant, you know? Like, suddenly all of our things are just, like, Collector Oof is now one green. That's doesn't sound like a lot, but it is.
Companion didn't change Companion enough to be, like, a worthwhile change, right? Like, the idea that, like, you'll pay to put it into your hand, I don't really like it.
Mm-mm.
Like, if it's still functioning the way my problem with Companion has always been that it's the 101st card, but, like, if you go outside of that, like, it's already still the 101st card. You're just adding, like, an unnecessary extra cost to it. Like, the whole point of our game is that we have a card we can cast that we have access to, and we build our deck around it. That's what you did with this. So I'm happy to just see Yomori hit the board for 4. You cast it when you're ready to cast it outside, rather than just be like, ah, yeah, pay to put it into your hand, and then it's now.
And I should say, too, I'm aware that Companion works that way, but I did make this a 100-card deck. I didn't add the 101. So, like, it is set up like a commander deck to where it's supposed to be how it is. I still run it in my companion zone, but I didn't take that one extra card. You know what I mean? And something we should probably talk about too is the price of this deck is very high. Like, it's saying $5,000 in US dollars.
But if you look at Diamond Valley alone is almost 1,000. And then if you run a Gaia's Cradle, you're looking at the version that you have in this deck is like 3,000.
Yeah. And for some reason, I like the gold Borderlands, so I got them. I have the normal versions, but I just like the gold border because I think they're cool. This one in here, like the Flooded Strand, is $260. I paid $5 for mine, but do not let this price, like, scare you. I don't have a Bayou. Like, I have a proxy Bayou that I got from Cabal Coffee because I think it's beautiful, and I want to play this deck at a reasonable level. Like, I'm not getting to play with all the stuff that would make a normal, I think, commander deck fine, you know? So being able to hit my mana like I'm supposed to, being able to hit the colors that I need is important. So I am running, like, all my duels are proxies, aside from the actual, you know, shock lands, because I had them. My hollow I got for a good price. But do not let this price scare you. I've picked up a lot of these cards just over time as well. So, like, my Mothra is a foil Mothra. Like, I got it at a good time, and this is my favorite commander deck. This is my favorite commander ever printed, so I always try my hardest to, like, make this deck as pretty as possible. So when you're going through it, when you're seeing me play it, you're like, oh, dude, that's that. Like, yeah, I know, isn't it great?
Well, and I'll say it again too, like, I don't pretend your proxies are real ones. Like, I don't really like the, like, exact replica proxies. But, like, yeah, if you just have, like you said, if you have, like, a done-up version, or even I've seen a few people start to make the, you know, the blacked-out lands that just came out. They've been making, like, duels of those. I think those are super cool. I just want to play the game, right? I don't want people to, unless you've played the game for, like, your whole life, you're not going to go out and buy these. Like, I have a huge collection. I will never go and buy, like, a Gaia's Cradle at $3,000. I could win the lottery tomorrow, and I still wouldn't do it. I have them because they're old cards. And I don't expect anyone else to, like, I don't think that you should, like, have to do that if you want to play, like, a similar card. I just want to play games with my friends, right? We're not betting on anything. The if your card's real or not isn't going to change if I'm having fun, right? Like, if you're being annoying and you have, like, a super, like, it's all counter spells deck, the proxies in it aren't what's annoying. It's that you're force of willing me, you know? Like, it's that. So, like you said, yeah, the land base is pretty high, but short of that, like, your creatures are very, very attainable. There's a ton of utility in them, and yeah, like...
And this is just the list I came up with, right? Like, I did what I like doing. I like reanimating, I like toolbox decks, and I like attrition-based decks. So this is that. And, like, I did play some pretty salty creatures. You don't have to do that by any means. I just think it's funny. And, like, I don't want you to eke out value if I can't eke out value. And I did mention it, but I do want to show off, like, these are the lands that I got from Cabal Coffee. There's my Diamond Valley. There's my Gaia's Cradle. And my, like,
yeah,
kind of borderless dual lands. If you guys aren't following Cabal Coffee, please do. Like, amazing content, amazing guy. Like, his proxies are phenomenal. They're very good quality. And like Dan talked about, like, you can tell those aren't real Magic cards, but also, yeah, you know.
That's one thing, like, everyone knows that I'm the judge, and even I say proxies, not counterfeits.
Yeah, well, that exactly what you just said, right? Because there is a difference. If you make, like, a full out replica that's meant to look and try pass off as a real one, that's, like, a real feel bad, because that's how newer players, they think they're getting a good deal, and you sell it to them, and it's like, you know what, like, this guy was really nice, he was helping me out, he sold me a Gaia's Cradle for only $300, like, because he wanted me to get into the game, and you're like, oh man, right? Yeah. So I like when they're distinctly different. I just like that, and I just like to play. But yeah, anything, like, if you ever see any of those, like, Wish has a bunch of them, like, they're, like, just straight out normal proxies, just write proxy on the back in a big Sharpie so no one's ever confused. If anyone's ever like, oh yeah, well, it's this, just be like, hey, see, it's not real, don't worry.
Yeah.
Something to distinguish them from that, yeah.
I've got a Gaia's Cradle, and it was given to me as a present, but in a sleeve, it's unidentifiable from an actual card, so I just wrote fake in permanent pen on the back.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
I don't want them to accidentally get into the market.
Yeah. Anything to distinguish them as, like, an actual fake. We could talk about, like, proxy and proxy etiquette for a long time, but there's so many great artists right now who are just making super, super cool versions. Like, lots of people make, like, full art versions of the dual lands and everything like that. And even do what I've suggested many times. Like, just talk to your playgroup and go pick up, like, the Kaldheim Snow Duels and just be like, I'm playing these as real duels, guys.
You know, while we're at it, I just want to go ahead. If you're not, follow Cabal Coffee, follow Beyond the Machinima, follow
Pyrexia.
Can I think of anyone else off the top of my head? Gosh.
Atomic Ashes does great stuff.
Atomic Ashes. Follow all these people because, and Bento Box Ben, or yep, just Ben now. All these guys are amazing artists. They're also really, they're great in the community. They're great, and they deserve love and affection for what they do because it's phenomenal.
I'm blown away by the creativity a bunch of these, like, a bunch of people have. Like, it's so cool to see the versions that they have. Like, I love alt art, because that's the one thing about the Godzilla lands in Icor, not Godzilla lands, the Godzilla reef sleeves. It showed us that, like, Magic has kind of gone beyond that, at least for our format of, you can play whatever artwork you want, right? If you want, like, some, like, anime version of it to sit in your command zone and just still be the same functional one, people don't care about that. People are like, hey, like, that's really cool. it's Commander's a game about self-expression, right? So it's so, we're really getting off topic here, but it's so nice to just see people just play the game, because that's what I want to do at the end of the day, is play the game and stuff, right? And just, I think what Zach was doing, like being just straight out honest of like, listen, you don't have to buy a Diamond Valley to play this. Like, you don't need a guy as Cradle and stuff. Just go out to have fun and stuff. Talk to your play group. This deck would still be fun.
We're not really off topic, because like, I was going to say this too. There are a couple cards that I forgot to fix, but if you go through this and look, almost every card I have in here is the exact copy of the card that I have in my deck, because this is my baby. This is my absolute favorite deck. So like, these are the cards I run.
Yep.
Yep. And it's going back to what you said, Dan, about just playing for fun. I'm super excited to sit down at a game table with Ikoria Mutate, Lord of the Rings, Walking Dead, and what's the new one?
Stranger Things
or the Warhammer one. You know, so many different universes coming together to play one game. We're all there to have fun. Yeah. Who cares what the cards look like?
I've let people build a My Little Pony Commander. I don't care. I just want to play Magic.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. I just don't care. I've seen so many people be like, hey, can I do like the Dinobots one? I'm like, yeah, let's just play Magic. Build a deck.
The mechanics are the same.
If someone's excited to play like a custom commander, like unless your custom commander is it's one mana, it taps for 7 mana and lets me tutor my deck. Like if you build like a reasonable custom commander and you ever want to play it, shoot us a message on Instagram and I will load up a game with you. I'll have a great time playing it, testing it. If you have like an idea that you want to be like, I wanted to play a Morph deck, but there's only Kadena for Morph, so I made this. I don't care. I'll just play Magic. I just like to play Magic.
You know my love for the Dark Tower. Like, I've been working on my like Dark Tower creatures that I want to build around. Like, what we're getting at, basically, long-winded version, this deck is the self-expression of me. This is what I love to do in Magic. These are my favorite colors in Magic. Always have fun. Don't let there be barriers of entry to the things you want to do. I did that for the longest time, and I had a deck that I liked, but not a deck that I loved. Now I have decks that I love because I removed that barrier of entry and just played what I wanted to play.
Yeah, Magic doesn't have to be fun if you're rich. Like, it's fun for everyone. That's the point. Like, the reason that we started late is A, I'm chronically late to everything, and B, it's that I was like playing Magic till like 3 or 4 a.m. I was up very late playing Magic. Like, we were having a good time, and yeah, I like seeing people, like you said, self-express. I love seeing, like, this was my idea. This is what I'm passionate about. I love seeing people's, like, weird, like, hey, I put this together so that it functions like this. And, like, that the demon we were talking about, the Mill 3, that would be, like, a super interesting win con to be able to, I put a draw trigger on the stack, and I'm going for a Lab Man win, and you just mill me before the Lab Man's out or something. I really like seeing, like, different cards, different play styles, right?
Well, exactly.
It's that famous saying that we keep saying, I want to play against your ability, not your wallet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, I'll throw my wallet at you.
I will actually go out and buy some cards because I can't afford them.
There's some pretty cards in this deck, and I love setting down because I get happy. I mean, you can see the look on my face right now if you're watching this. There are so many cards where I've just been like, man, I worked so hard to get this stupid Mothra, and I'm so happy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's wrap it here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Zach, you can let them know where they can find us.
You can find all of our content on intothe99.com. That's your one-stop shop for everything us. That's merch, that's articles, that's episodes, that's YouTube content. You can find all of our socials there. If you're not already following me on Instagram, please do. I'm at NecroZach. That's NekroZach. I post a lot of card games on there right now. I'm obviously super into Magic, but recently I've gotten into MetaZoo and Flesh and Blood and Pokemon. So follow me on my journey to become the very best at card games ever. Lotus, you want to tell them about Brewing It Live?
Yeah, we have a special guest, Tika's Dragon, coming on the 27th at 8 p.m. GMT for a special episode of Brewing It Live.
Sweetest person I've ever met, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We haven't got a commander, but give us suggestions, we might do it. And then just follow us on Instagram, LotusBloomMTG.
Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, have a great week.
Abzan is the best color ever.
That's 3.
Yeah, I said it's the best color ever.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm done.
I know what I'm about.